I'm Joe Wood, and I believe.
Almost daily, between late 2014 and early 2015, several Navy pilots training high in the skies off the U.S. East Coast aboard the USS Theodore Roosevelt routinely report seeing strange objects. The pilots tell their superiors that the objects had no visible engine or exhaust plumes, and that they could reach 30,000 feet at hypersonic speeds. In 2015, one of the Navy's jets captured film of one. It shows a white object shaped like a tic-tac. Flight audio reveals the pilots questioning what they see. "Wow, what is that?" one pilot exclaims. "Look at it fly." What was the most strange, the pilots later say, was that video showed the objects accelerating to hypersonic speed, making sudden stops and instantaneous turns, something beyond the physical limits of a human crew. As Lieutenant Graves put it, speed doesn't kill you, stopping does, or acceleration.
Welcome to Alien Nation, the ongoing series about extraterrestrials and UFOs, which asks the question, are we alone? I'll be talking to celebrities and everyday people who also believe and have their own incredible stories to share. We'll talk about well-documented cases, we'll examine the theories and the counter-theories, but mostly we'll just share our own personal experiences together. So get in touch with your own stories. I'll tell you how to do that at the end of the show. My guest today is international pop star, all-round fabulous guy, Robbie Williams.
Yay me! And yay you! How are you doing, darling?
I'm doing good. You?
I'm having weird sleeps.
Oh.
Are you good with sleep?
Yes, usually I'm good with sleep. I'm not at the moment because I've got a bit of allergies, but yeah, usually I can be out like a light and have fabulous dreams.
Oh, do you have astral projections and...
I dream about things like flying in boats.
Yeah.
And I dream about things like I can climb up the walls and go onto a ceiling. Mm-hmm. It's weird stuff like that.
No, I have those sort of flying dreams and... I sort of fly by flapping my wings.
Yes, I do
my,
that.
Flapping my hands.
And I can get up and go, yeah. Yes, and the more you do that, the more you can lift yourself.
And I kind of won't be a surprise to your listening audience, but I kind of feel like I'm showing off when I'm doing it, like as well. I'm like, check me out, I can do this.
Now, I want to know when you first experienced anything or, you know, what you saw or whatever it was, because I don't know.
Okay, so much like you, with your father's an astronaut magazine.
Yeah.
My grandma used to have books on UFOs.
Did she?
Yeah, and I can remember sort of being 9 or 10 and looking at the front cover of this book, and I think it was UFOs over London. And it was a picture of these three UFOs over Big Ben and...
Oh, my God.
Westminster. And I was like, oh, this thing might be real. And...
Have you seen a UFO?
Yes, absolutely, positively have seen an unidentified flying object above my head. And I could hit it with a tennis ball. And I was with a young lady on a lounger, and there was palm trees in front of us, and it was 10:30.
What country?
America. And for the benefit of the skeptics, I was totally sober. I was doing AA at the time. I was that sober.
Yeah.
And we're just lying there. And then over the palm trees came this square object that I would say is the size of this hotel room, which isn't very good for the people at home listening to this on the podcast. It's quite a sizable hotel room with a suite and a bathroom and a bedroom. If you added 4 more of these,
yeah,
it was square, matte black underneath.
Oh, I've read about the matte black square boxes, and I often think maybe that's what the Muslim religion, they have that square black box
in
worship.
Mecca.
Yeah.
And it just came over us. And like I said, I could hit it with a tennis ball.
Oh, my God.
And we both looked at it. But underneath, weirdly, it had yellow strips, like it was doing a bit of road traffic work or something. You know, I don't know if you know the Hacienda. You know the Hacienda nightclub in Manchester? Yeah. Well, you know, the yellow and black strips that used to be at the Hacienda, it had that underneath it. So it was sort of like a Hacienda UFO.
Fantastic.
But looking at it, it felt quite earthly, you know, this yellow and the matte black.
Did it make a noise?
No, it was absolutely silent and nobody else saw it. And it was at the Beverly Hills Hotel.
Oh, it was at Beverly Hills.
Yeah. So I don't know if we were the only people that saw it because we were meant to see it or what the hell it was. But I haven't seen or met your archetypal green alien. So I don't know if they exist, but I do know I've seen this object that was huge and silent. And I know that officially we're not supposed to have the capabilities to do what this object did.
Yeah, I think that's it, isn't it? To see something that either moves so fast that you can't explain it or is just hanging in the sky like that. We don't have that, do we?
No, and it was super slow. And, you know, it was over a very busy... You've been to Beverly Hills, you know Beverly Hills.
Yeah, I lived in LA.
Yeah, it's a very busy neighbourhood. There was no reports of it. Nobody else saw it. It was absolutely huge. Which leads me to think, well, was that for me?
Yeah, I think it was for you. I think that certain people see them. Once on a plane, I saw an orb flying over South America and it came up to the plane, went straight along there and back again. And me and my young son, Ty goes, he was about 16, he went, "What the hell was that, Mum?" I said, "I have no idea, Ty, but it was amazing, you know." And so you can't say that I was drunk or anything because Ty was 15, 16. And we were the only two that saw it on the plane. And it was a Stones plane, so it was full of crew and everybody. So we were the only two that saw it.
It's exciting, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's exciting.
I look at the sky all the time. I just want to see something
else.
Yeah, me
too. But there's, you know, then that leads you to possibly seeing things that aren't there sometimes too, which happens to me. The amount of times that I'll be like speaking to somebody in the evening, 8:30, and all of a sudden they'll find me sort of like, I'm
what's
listening.
That? What's that?
I'm listening, but I'm sort of like, oh, it's an aeroplane. It's an aeroplane. Carry on. I can concentrate now.
I do that all the time. I'm terrible.
This is my other story. So I wrote a song about...
I was going to ask you if you'd written a song about UFOs.
Yes. Yeah, I've written a song called Arizona about alien abduction. Maybe you can use it on the podcast. And I used to have a place that overlooked the San Fernando Valley off Mulholland Drive. And my studio was in my bedroom. And the studio had a balcony. And I was having a cigarette. And I was looking over the San Fernando Valley and I was playing the song because I was whittling the lyrics. I was trying to get them right or get them into a place that I liked. So I'm listening to the song back and I look and there's a gold ball in the sky. And I'm thinking to myself, this is where people would expect me to get excited about it, but I'm not. Because I know that it's probably a drone, a plane, or it's Venus during the day. So I'm not getting excited because I don't want to let myself down. Arizona finishes. And it blinks out. So I'm like, noted. I said, lads, will you put the track on again? So we put the track on again and it blinks back in. And I'm like, right, you've got my attention. Song ends, it blinks out. And I'm like, lads, this might not be anything, but come out here and watch this. Put the track on. Look over there. So they put the track on.
They saw it?
And it blinks in.
Oh, my God.
As the track ends, it blinks out. And I'm saying, it'll do it again. So it did it again. The fifth time that it happens, we're now all at fever pitch and really excited, including my wife that's come to stand on the balcony to watch this event unfold. And it blinks out for the last time. We go into the bedroom. There's my two friends stood in front of me and my wife stood next to me. And we're like, what the fuck is that? As we say this, coming through the door about 15 feet away is this black strip. If you can imagine, a black ribbon that comes through the door, stretches through the middle of the four people stood opposite each other.
No way.
Goes to the window.
Yeah.
And then follows itself out.
How mad is that?
That's
really... They were checking the room out.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah. And I've had plenty of, like, weird coincidences happen.
That is really cool. Gosh, that must have been great to be there and see that.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was. Do you want to hear a really weird coincidence that happened to me?
Yeah.
Okay. A little bit of it's graphic, but we're amongst friends and no one's listening. This won't go anywhere. So there's this ranch up in Seattle, and they have unusual phenomena happening every night. And I hear about this and I'm like, right, I've got a few weeks off, I'm going. So I went up to the ranch. And sure enough, every night there's unusual phenomena. There's really weird lights and there's really weird movements and 90 degree angles that these lights are taking. And it's weird and it's exciting, but...
So you can go and stay there. Anybody can visit.
But is it paranormal? I don't know. You know, is it weird? Yes. Could it be the military with some advanced propulsion that we don't know about? Most likely. But one weird thing that did happen while I was up there, he has people staying there, and a lot of people that are staying there leave books. And over the years, he's amassed a little library. And I would say that there's about 300, 400 books on shelves. And I was going the loo. And I thought to myself, I'm going to run my finger along these bookshelves, and whatever I pick out is what I'm supposed to read. So I did. I ran my finger along the bookshelf, pulled a book out completely at random, stuck my finger in the book completely at random, went to the loo, sat down, opened it up, and the chapter was Underground Cities of Stoke-on-Trent. And I'm from Stoke-on-Trent.
Really?
The rest of the book was about South America. The only bit that was about Europe and the only bit that was about England was Stoke-on-Trent. And there I am in Seattle... opening up this page.
That is bizarre.
So I was in rehab and got this dictionary out. And I thought to myself, I'm going to look at somebody and whatever I put my finger on, the word that I put my finger on, that's what they're thinking of me. And I put my finger in the book and I opened it up and it said paranoid. Now, if you get a dictionary, try this at home. You know, I wouldn't want to do this on the TV under an experiment at all because I'm sure it wouldn't work. But if you get a dictionary... think about something really intently.
Okay.
Stick your finger on the page and then have a look at what word you get.
All right, I'm going to do that. I'm definitely going to do that. Why do you think the government aren't open with us? I think now they're getting a bit more open. Apparently, the Pentagon has admitted investigating UFOs.
You saw the Tic Tac video.
Which Tic Tac video?
You didn't see the Luis Elizondo. You didn't see the Tic Tac video from 18 months ago that the government released.
Oh, yes, I did. Yes, I did see that. Yeah, I saw that. Yeah.
So they were saying that there wasn't any agencies involved in the looking for UFOs. But in fact, there was one agency that was budgeted to the tune of $22 million that was looking into UFOs. And that might not be the only agency that might exist.
Yeah, they all are, aren't they?
But, you know, who knows?
I want to find out.
How do you plan on doing that?
I think I want to speak to some pilot from the US Air Force, and I want to talk to him, and I think he'd tell me. Any pilot that's seen UFOs.
I can hook that up.
Yes.
Yeah, I can make that happen.
And find
The Tic Tac video, what they don't tell you about the Tic Tac video, it's the same pilot saw a USO.
Yeah, under the water one.
Yeah, an under the water one. Yeah. That was connected to the Tic Tac video, to the Tic Tac UFO.
Oh, really?
So it came out of the water, yeah.
Oh, gosh, I'd like to see a USO.
Any of the above. But like I say, since I've had the kids, weirdness has stopped. Because my focus is providing and being a daddy.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas before, I had plenty of time on my hands to sort of look for the
woo-woo. You've had some babies quickly.
Yeah, well, I took my time.
Yeah, you took your time.
Yeah, I was 39 and then I was like, OK, let's do this.
Yeah.
And on my third child, I'm ready for my first.
What do you mean?
Well, I wasn't ready for any of them, but now I kind of am ready for my first child.
So you're off to do your residency?
I'm off to Vegas, yeah.
Ooh, I love Vegas.
I've done 9 dates there. I'm at the Wynn Hotel. It's gone really, really well.
Yeah.
I'm spending all of the money that we're making from it on the production, so...
Oh, really?
It's like a calling card to go, hey, America, look what I can do. And all the tickets have sold out. It's going really, really well. Reviews have been great. The show itself's really fun to do.
See, I don't understand why the Stones don't do a residency. Sit there for like a couple of weeks doing shows there and moving. Anyway, that's another story.
They go on tour every 4 years or something, is it?
Yeah, well, they're just about to go back out again.
Well, seeing as though they're the highest grossing band in the history of bands of all time, I think they're doing something right.
And that's the other thing. The reason I think they do so well, is, and anybody in the music business, because it's all about vibration, isn't it? And I think when you've got good vibes around music, it keeps you younger and mentally alert.
So when they were writing all of those songs back in the day, you have to think that they were tuning into some sort of energy that may not have been positive.
Yeah.
If there was so much drugs going on and they were attuned to something out there, it's like Sympathy for the Devil was...
they were at the height of their drug-taking.
It is quite dark. It's incredible how the songs have endured because they're incredible songs, but also there is a... I'm sure there is.
Thanks for joining me, Robbie. We've had lots of great guests do this.
Who have you had on?
I've had Dan Aykroyd.
I actually got a story about Dan Aykroyd.
Come on.
Weirdly enough. So 18 years ago, I'm a few months sober and I decide to move to Los Angeles to start a new life. And my manager went out and rented me a house. And sight unseen, I hadn't seen it, but they said I'd be fine with it, which I was. And I got there, it was Dan Aykroyd's house, and I'd rented it for 3 months. And I put the money down, so, you know, everything was paid for. And when I walked through the door, I thought, oh, shit, this place is completely and utterly haunted, and I'm terrified.
Really?
So I went upstairs, and I thought, well, this is the time for new horizons for me. I'm going to try something that I haven't tried before because I used to be terrified to be by myself because of spirits and ghosts and all that business. I sat on the bed and I said, my name's Rob. I'm from Stoke-on-Trent in England. I'm newly sober. I know that you're here. I'm going to respect your space. I please ask you to respect my space because I'm scared of you. And I felt as though I'd been heard. I went downstairs and my friend that was living with me at the time came down with a towel around his waist. He'd just had a shower and he was white. And I said, what's up? He went, I've just had a conversation with somebody that wasn't there. So he's in the shower and he's talking to somebody and it was a spirit, whatever it was. And I was saying, well, that's weird because I was just having a one-way conversation saying, I know that you're here. So that was the first bit of weirdness that happened. The second bit of weirdness was we went out one evening a few days later and I came back. Every window and every door in the whole house was opened at the same degree, same angle. Everyone, front door, side door, back door, side door, all opened at the same angle. The windows all opened at the same angle. No one had been in. Anyway, the mamas and the papas.
I'm surprised Dan doesn't know this.
I sent him an email telling him all about it, but I think he's more than aware about his own house. Anyway, the mamas and the papas, Mama Cass died in that house.
Oh, she did?
Yes. Ringo Starr used to own the house too.
Oh, God, right? I might have been to that house.
Yeah, it was down... I won't say where it is because I'm sure Dan still lives there. Anyway, so all the windows are open, nobody's been in, exact same angle. One night, I'm in bed and the Sounds of the 60s adverts come on the television. You know those Sounds of the 60s? Yeah. And All the Leaves Are Brown came on. And the room went, and there was this silence that I'd never experienced before or since. Anyway, I'd bought myself a wolf, Sid, and he was next to my bed in a crate. At the same time, he starts...
Oh, what, a dog?
A wolf.
Oh, I see, yeah.
A wolf.
What, a proper wolf?
Yeah, a wolf.
Did you?
Yeah, well, he is 60% wolf. Anyway.
Cool.
He's in his crate and he starts going, wah, wah, and it's 3 o'clock in the morning. And I think, oh God, I'll be a good dog owner. And I take him out of the crate and I walk him downstairs into the corridor, through the corridor, into the kitchen and outside. And I put him down and he doesn't want to pee. He just wants to play. So he goes scampering about and I'm getting terrified because it's the middle of the night in this strange house. And I pick him up and I go through the kitchen, through the corridor, up the back stairs, put him down. And as I put him down, he makes a run for the door and the stairs again. Now I'm shitting myself.
Yeah,
even more. I walk down the stairs and I go to the corridor and the door's closed at the end of the corridor, which means Sid the puppy opened the door and then closed the door. So I go walking and I don't know what I'm going to find it when I open this door. I open the door, Sid's on the other side, but he's staring at me and he's shaking.
Oh, shame.
Absolutely.
So that house is really haunted.
Terrified. So that week in town, playing drums for The Who was Zach Starkey, who's Ringo's son.
Yeah.
My A&R guy, again, is friends with Zach. I go down to the Sunset Marquee to meet Zach.
Yeah.
And I'm sat down and before he says anything, he says, I hear you're at the old house. And I went, yeah, I am. He went, have you met the kids yet? And I went, well, funnily enough, I've got a few stories for you. And he said, yeah, I used to play with them when we used to play with them when we were kids.
Oh my anyway, God.
This story ends with the removal people refusing to go back into the house because of the old lady sat in the chair. The old lady wasn't
there,
of course. So there
were kids and there's an old lady in there.
Well,
who is it in there then? They don't know?
I don't know, but it was it's a wacky, wacky house, yeah.
I might have been to that house back in when Ringo was there. I think I went to the house one night. I can't remember because that's when I was doing the old hubbly bubbly. Yeah.
The hubbly bubbly.
Yeah.
the gackly wackly.
Yeah. I've interviewed Sean Ryder.
Yep.
Jean-Michel Jarre.
Yep. Has Jean-Michel Jarre had?
No, but he's very into space and he knows astronauts. A designer called Vint, and they do fantastic clothes made out of plastic bottles. Bricks Smith Start, who used to be married to Marquis Smith. Yeah, and Fern's mum, Fern Cotton's mum.
Has Fern's mum seen anything?
Oh, yeah. She's totally into it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Like my mum is too. There's never been a moment where this kind of stuff hasn't existed in our household. Mum says, you know, she's had angels in the house.
Yeah.
Like huge, winged, actual angels.
It's funny you should say about talking to the ghosts. I'm sure we had one in Homewood, this house we lived in. And when I was about to move, something came into my bedroom. And my mum had always said, if you feel anything, cause she was very much into this, you should just sit up and say, go away and leave me alone. And that's exactly what I did. And they went away. You can talk to them and let them know that you know that they're there.
Yeah, I suppose that I was always scared to do that when I was scared because that would make it real, you know. Yeah. And if it was just in my head, it would just be in my head. And if I said it out loud, I suppose I'd be more scared than I already was. But that's the reason I started having 24-hour security. It was not for my own safety. It was just because I was scared of what was happening around me when I was alone.
I think you're very, very in touch with that side of life.
Maybe, but maybe we're mental. Maybe we are, you know, maybe this is a mental illness.
No, it's not.
I don't think so.
I don't think so.
Let's not tell anyone. I have to put that out there for the sceptics.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with you. Listen, what that guy does Ancient Aliens, have you ever seen that programme?
I know what you're on about, yeah.
He said the possibilities out there are endless, so they're endless possibilities. And I really believe that. We don't know hardly anything at all, and I think...
Have you heard about Skinwalker Ranch?
Skinwalker Ranch? No.
You should Google Skinwalker Ranch. Do you know about Rendlesham Forest?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Do you know who Bob Lazar is? Bob Lazar, you should check out.
Oh, Bob Lazar? Yeah. Yes, I do know who Bob Lazar is. Haven't I seen a book of his?
Yeah, he's the guy that came out in 1981 or 1982 or whenever it was and said that he'd worked at Area 51 on the sports model UFO.
Yes,
and my mate George Knapp interviewed him. Yeah, there's a bit of a dead trail though at the moment. Tom DeLonge, do you know who he is?
No.
Blink 182.
Oh, okay.
He's sort of carrying the flag and doing it really well. He's got this to the Stars Academy. And my mate Jeremy Corbell, oh, he's got three fucking names, I can't remember them all. There is a new charge of new people, of young people, but everybody's dying. Everybody's dying that's into this stuff.
We're interviewing somebody called Robbie Graham, and he's written books on Hollywood and UFOs, you know, the similarity. So we're interviewing him next week, I think.
I always thought it'd be a good idea to do a book of asking celebrities their weird paranormal stories, you know, short stories. So,
yeah.
But I've never got round to going, hey, Beyonce, ever seen a ghost?
Maybe she would say yes. I think it's amazing because it's changed. You know, 10 years ago, I wouldn't be able to do this without everybody really thinking I've gone mad. But I get emails now from people saying, loving the podcast, I saw this, that and the other.
In 2006, I said I was into this stuff and I got my fucking head kicked in.
Yeah. It's changed.
Absolutely tranced. The sun sent little green men in costumes to stand outside of my house.
Did they?
With journalists with notepads. And yeah, it was just like, hey, what?
No, I even went on this programme this morning and talked to Holly and Philip. And, you know, everybody was quite open to everything. Nobody said that I was nuts. It's changed. It's changed, and I think a lot of it's to do with social media. I follow so many UFO sightings sites, you know, UFO Yorkshire, UFO MUFON, UFO this, UFO... And I think that helps open people's minds. We have to have an open mind about everything.
But not so open that your brain falls out.
Not so open you become green and turn into an alien. All right. Thank you so much, Robbie. That was
pleasure.
Great. That's our show for today. I really hope you enjoyed it. If you did, please rate us on whatever platform you get your podcast from. It helps people like you find us. Today's show was produced by Mike Hansen for Pod People Productions. Theme music by Mike Hansen and Jamie Allen. Special thanks to Nigel Heath and our narrator, Mike Hansen Sr. If you want to share your stories, we'd love to hear from you. Just email info@podpeopleproductions.co.uk. Subject matter, Alien Nation. Beam me up next time. I'm Jo Wood. And I believe.
Pod People.
What makes a stand-up comedian tick? How do they handle heckles, bad gigs? Are they brave or just maladjusted individuals? And what makes them want to do this impossible job in the first place?
Yeah, I honestly thought I couldn't do it then. I just thought, I thought, I'm going to, you know, this is going to be sad for everybody. I'm going to die.
I can be a real shark about previews.
A guy in the front row, when I told him I was bi, got his ball sack out and said, why don't you suck this then?
Join me, Nathan Cassidy, stand-up comedian and Bachelor of Science in Psychology, a first from Bristol University, as I delve into the dark recesses of the comedian's psyche in Psychomedy, the new podcast from Pod People Productions. But be warned, it's not always pretty.
But I've been thinking recently about what makes me a stand-up comedian, because I think people
We've all been thinking that.
That's Psychomedy, coming soon to Apple Podcasts, Spotify UK, or wherever you get your podcasts.